So over the course of the last several weeks, we have been talking about a topic that's very often misunderstood amongst Christians, one that can create a lot of confusion, and that is the topic of spiritual gifts. We've been looking at spiritual gifts and what they are and what they're not. And unfortunately, this misunderstanding of spiritual gifts isn't just something new in the last few generations, but it was even a problem back in the first century. And believers had this distorted understanding or belief of what spiritual gifts were. And so that's why Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth and why he wrote it to us as well. As I've noted in past studies, the city of Corinth was kind of a melting pot of a lot of pagan beliefs. It was a major seaport village, so there was all kinds of people coming and going, and there was a lot of pagan worship going on. So a lot of the believers there in Corinth had come out of that paganism, and so they had a lot of just misunderstandings and distorted ideas of the way that God works in people's lives. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to this church for the very purpose of clarifying some of that confusion. Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritualities, brothers, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. And as I have mentioned several times, in the original Greek text, the word spiritual gifts is not there. The Greek word that Paul uses there actually means spiritualities or things of spiritual nature. And so that's what he's really talking about. And so then he goes on in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, categorizing what those four spiritualities or spiritual things are. He says, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And to each is given, excuse me, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Lord calls each believer to some specific variety of service. And Paul talks about those very specifically in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. A few weeks back, we talked about those. We looked at those specifically. And if you've missed those messages, I encourage you, go on the church website under media and catch those messages so that you can get caught up to date. And then he goes on to say that the Holy Spirit empowers each believer to be able to do those varieties of service, and he empowers them with varieties of gifts. And Paul talks about those in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And again, we looked at those in detail a few weeks back. And then God the Father, it's interesting how you see the whole Trinity here having a part in all of this. God the Father then, through these gifts, through these services or ministries, he then causes effects, things to happen in your life and in the lives of those around you. And we're going to look at those here in about 2 weeks. And then verse 7, each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So in the following verses, then, Paul gets in specifically to what those manifestations of the Spirit is. And those were the things that the believers were so confused about, and the things that even believers today have a lot of confusion regards to. So Paul talks about those. The manifestation of the Spirit, as we defined earlier, means to reveal something or make something visible that otherwise might not be seen. And so in this particular case, the Holy Spirit, we know as believers, he's living within us, but every now and then he wants to manifest himself. He wants to let us be reminded that he's there and he's empowering us and he's doing mighty things. And so he will do one of these things that he's talking about now to reveal himself. So verse 8, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. Now, we've already looked at the first few of those, word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, and then most recently we looked at prophecy. And as we discovered, prophecy, I defined it as declaring the truth. And prophecy, as Paul has pointed out, is extremely important for us individually and as a body of Christ. Twice in Paul's letters, he has encouraged the church to pursue prophecy just as earnestly as you pursue love. So prophecy is very important. And so, since prophecy is so important, and Paul emphasizes that, it only makes sense to me that the very next thing that he mentions now is the distinguishing of spirits, which is where we pick up this morning. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, "I have a prophecy from the Lord that I want to share with you," how do you know that it's really from the Lord? How do you know where this is coming from? How do you know if it's really truth? A pastor once shared a story about a time when he received a phone call, and from this woman, she claimed that she had a word from the Lord to share with him. And so she began prophesying by saying, "You are a great man of God, full of power, and God is going to use you in a powerful way. You're going to be a mighty warrior for God." Well, the pastor became highly suspicious of this because he knew that God isn't going to just call him out of the blue and start flattering him like that. And so he paused and he decided that he was going to test the Spirit. So he asked the voice on the other end of the line, "Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" And the voice replied, "She believes he has." And immediately the pastor said, "Wrong answer," and hung up. We need to test the Spirit. We need to know, is this prophecy truly from the Lord? Where is it coming from? Prophecy is so important, but so is distinguishing the voice that it's coming from, distinguishing the Spirit. Now, before we go on much farther, we need to understand what this manifestation means and what it doesn't mean. Simply put, distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits is the God-given ability, the supernatural ability given to us to be able to identify spirits or spiritual truth. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Now, I know that kind of sounds mystical, you know, like something you could expect somebody to look in a crystal ball or a fortune teller or something to look at, but it's biblical. The Bible tells us that we need to be discerning of spirits. You know, like I've said so many times, the enemy loves to take things of truth and just twist it a little bit, and he likes to distort it, you know, and just make it look good enough that we just accept it without even questioning it. And we need to be able to discern what is truly from God and what's evil. So it is so important. So if Paul tells us that this discerning of spirits is important, and if prophecy is so important, we need to have the tools to be able to discern. And also the Bible even warns us, Ephesians chapter 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm." We need to be prepared because it's not just stuff of the earth that we're fighting against. This is spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And we need to be able to discern. So I would ask you, how do we take up this full armor of God? How do we do this battle against these rulers and powers and so forth that Paul mentions? Who's behind the voice that you're hearing? Who's behind the supernatural activity that you might be witnessing or experiencing? Who's behind this abnormal behavior that you may be observing from somebody. And here's one I would throw at you. Who's behind the blessing that you might be experiencing in your life? You know, we don't often think about this, but when we're being really blessed in our lives, it's not always God who's doing that blessing. I've known people who are extremely wealthy, and they may say, God is really blessing me. Man, my life couldn't be any better. But the truth of the matter is, their faith, their devotion, their commitment is in their money, not in God. They don't need God because they've got everything that they feel like they need. The enemy can use that to keep people from truly having faith and commitment to the Lord. So we need to be careful, even blessings. The enemy can use that. So discernment is so, so important. Years ago, I had a job. I still have a job, but not the same one. Years ago, I had this job where I was working in an office area, and I had to stay late that night. And so I'm all by myself there working, and suddenly I started hearing this voices coming from another area out in the front door lobby area. It's like three or four voices carrying on a conversation, and I thought, well, that's kind of odd because I thought I was the only person there. So I cautiously went to investigate, and sure enough, there was nobody in the lobby. But when I opened up the door, I found that there was this middle-aged homeless man that was crouched down, kind of laying with his face planted to the mail chute. And I quickly discovered these four voices were coming out of this man. I think the Lord was giving me a discernment of spirits at that moment, because this guy immediately sat up and got into a fetal position and planted his face between his knees, and he would not look at me, he would not talk to me, he wouldn't answer. And I believe it was because I was a Christian, and this evil force, spirit, whatever it was, didn't want to interact with me. Well, I mentioned to others that were there the next day at the office of what had happened, and of course they thought, well, maybe he was just schizophrenic or, you know, something like that. But I truly believe that God was using that moment. And I would have been interested if there had been other people with me. It was not a safe situation, but it would have been interesting to actually talk to this guy and try to find out what was going on there. Remember when Christ confronted this one man who had evil spirits in him, and he asked who these voices were, and the voices cried out in anguish? I wonder if the same thing might have happened that evening. But anyway, I was truly believed that God was using me at that moment in that way. Also, because of my, and many of you know this, I had many years where I was leading a cult awareness ministry where we actually taught what cults believed and how to witness to them and so forth. And I had a lot of interaction with various cults and people in the occult. And God used that manifestation a number of times where he would help me to understand that this was not a good spirit that I was interacting with. And so God can use that. Remember in Acts chapter 16 when Paul was in Philippi and he was walking down to the riverside there to the place of prayer where the women were all praying. And on his way there, he met that young girl, the slave girl, who was obviously possessed. And she was making money basically for her masters by doing fortune telling. And because God had given Paul at that moment this discernment of spirit, he was able to discern that there was something evil there, and he was able to cast out this demon from this girl. Now, by the way, discerning of spirits is not the same thing as discerning bad behavior. We need to understand that. You know, if someone's acting or reacting to you in such a way that is just totally inappropriate or even offensive, it doesn't mean that they've got an evil spirit in them, okay? It just means that maybe you need to give them a little bit more grace. So we need to be cautious there. You know, some people just have an unpleasant personality, and so we need to extend more grace. In other words, discerning of spirits is not the same thing as just personality conflict or personal opinion because of somebody else's actions or whatever. It's much more deep than just personal opinion. It is the Holy Spirit confirming with your spirit that there is something wrong in a situation from a spiritual level. A number of years ago, Kathy and I, this is a long time ago, but a friend of ours had just started going to a new church. And she was so excited about this church, and she was anxious for us to come and experience it. And so we did. We went one Sunday morning with her to this church, and started off, it was kind of interesting. It was a lot of excitement, and, you know, it was fun. But then the pastor started praying for people in the church and various problems that were going on. And, of course, people all around us started making some kind of gibberish, too, if you know what I'm talking about. But he started praying for this one young couple who had a new baby that was quite ill and was in the hospital. All of a sudden, this booming voice carrying over everybody else's praying and the pastor's praying, this deep, manly voice starts speaking and saying that this baby's going to be fine. This baby's going to be going home from the hospital really soon. He's going to be fully healthy. He's going to be with the family, and everything's going to work out just fine. Well, Kathy and I immediately had this very unsettling feeling in our spirit that something is not right here. And so we turned to see where this deep, husky voice was coming from. And it was coming from this little, short, petite woman. God was giving us a discernment of spirits. What was really fascinating to me is that everybody thought it was normal. Nobody thought second about it. God was giving us a discernment of spirit that this is not right. And we were able to share with our friends, you need to really consider this church that you found. But God can use this discernment of spirits. You know, if somebody starts crawling around on the floor or barking like a dog, or they start laughing uncontrollably, and not because of a bad joke I've shared, but, you know, if they start acting just really bizarre, you need to really use discernment. Is this truly a good thing, or is it not? Well, so far I've been talking about the discernment of evil, but there's also a time when we need to be able to discern good. You know, when somebody is truly, genuinely speaking the truth to you, a prophecy to you, we want to know that it's truly from God, right? But here lies the problem and why discerning of spirits is so, so important. As we've been talking about the various ministries of God and we've talked about the gifts of God, those ministries and gifts are pretty obvious as to what they are. The Bible clearly spells them out. There's really no confusion about them. They're very objective. But the manifestation of God is not quite so objective. In fact, I would say that it's more subjective. How do we really know that something supernatural is truly of God and not a perversion of the enemy? You know, as I noted, these believers in Corinth, they were all, you know, they'd come out of paganism. There was a lot of confusion, and they didn't really understand this whole thing. And so that's why Paul wrote these chapters. We are now living in an age of what I would like to call subjectivism. In other words, we're no longer testing things and solving problems through means of science or reason or rationality, but instead, we've turned to a more subjective, spiritual, self-validating means of solving issues. Well, let me put it to you another way. Instead of asking if something is true, many people are just asking, does it work for me? You know what I'm talking about? For example, I've heard some Christians actually tell me that God gave them permission to get divorced because they weren't happy anymore. Well, it seems kind of reasonable. You're miserable, you're not happy, and so it must be from God. I've heard some people say that it's okay to go hang out in the bars and the nightclubs and go and do all this stuff because biblically it says we're supposed to be all things to all people so that we may save some. Okay, well, it kind of sounds okay, so they justify it that way. Some think that sex outside of marriage is okay. Because everybody else is doing it. We're living in a culture now where it's just acceptable. And surely God doesn't want us to live in the dark ages. And so they'll justify it that way. You know, there are so many voices speaking to us today. Who are those voices coming from? You know, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Satan is not going to come up to your door and knock and say, "Hey, I'm Satan. I'm here to ruin your life today. Can I come in and have fun?" He doesn't do that. He likes to be as clever and as subtle as he possibly can to destroy your life. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 11:14, that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He isn't going to tell you who he is. He's more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, Genesis 3:1. He's called the father of lies, John 8:44. Now listen, Satan can even speak through fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember when Satan spoke to Jesus through Peter? This was in Matthew 16:23, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan can use brothers and sisters to speak falsely. He can work counterfeit miracles, 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 10. He can move into the church through false teachers, 2 Peter 2:1 and 2. The enemy is alive and well, and he is working to destroy lives, and he doesn't tell you who he is and where he's at and what he's up to. He's a liar. He is very subtle. And we have to have discernment. He will often, and I've said this before, he will mimic the things that are of God. He will try to make it look as close as he possibly can to the truth. Distort it just enough, though, to pull you away from the Lord. I read some rather disturbing statistics recently that really troubled me. A survey was taken of Christians asking how many believe that Satan was just a symbol of evil and not a real being. 32% strongly agreed that Satan's just a symbol but not a real being. 11% somewhat agreed, and 5% really didn't know. That's 48%, nearly half of the Christian population, that don't even believe that there's a real Satan out there. In that same survey, Christians were asked if Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and the other groups, if they all were praying to the same God, even though they used a different name for God. 30% strongly agreed. 18% somewhat agreed. 12% really didn't know for sure. That is 60% of the Christian population that don't even know their real God. If the majority of people that call themselves Christians don't know the true God, there is no way they're going to be able to discern of spirits. Is it any wonder why the churches today are in the trouble they are? That brings us to what I feel is really the most important part of this message. How do we identify those voices that we're hearing? And how do we discern the spirits? Now, I need to remind us that we are talking about the manifestation of the Spirit, in this particular case, the discernment of spirits. And I remind us that because we're not talking about some crystal ball or cards or anything like that. We have the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us into all truth. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit, John 16:13, to show us truth. However, he uses some very important tools to share that truth with us, to help us to discern spirits. The most important tool, and we all know this, but the most important tool that the Holy Spirit uses is God's Word, the Bible. You know, after spending 43 years, or plus a few, I don't know, with Kathy, When I see something written on a piece of paper, I can tell you if it's Kathy that wrote it. If I hear a voice off in another room somewhere, I can tell you if it's Kathy's voice. We need to meditate on God's word and get to know our Lord's voice. You know, even the most well-meaning cults who call themselves Christian and who claim to believe in Jesus will deny that Christ is God. And that's one of the other tests that we need to have here. First, we have God's word. The Holy Spirit will speak to us through truth. But another tool that we have is what I like to call a spirit tester. Something you can run down to Radio Shack. No, you can't. But seriously, look at me with it. 1 John chapter 4. This is such a great passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4. If you're ever in doubt of a spirit, whether it's truly from God or not, here is the spirit tester that God gives us. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. As I shared that pastor story earlier, that was the test he gave. Do you believe that Christ came in the flesh? As I said, a lot of cults will say, yes, they believe in Jesus. Mormons, they believe in Jesus, but they believe that he was just a great prophet who has come to share good news and now has gone on to become a God himself. Jehovah's Witnesses, they also believe that Jesus was just a great teacher who came to point our way to God. Muslims believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, but they only believe that Jesus was one of God's greatest messengers to mankind. Now, New Agers, they have a great angle on this whole thing of Jesus. They've got it covered pretty well. They believe that everything is God. So then it would make sense, too, that Jesus is God. We're all God. And so they believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he died, that he rose again, just as we are all God in the flesh and that we're going to die and rise again. But even better than that, they believe that us, like Jesus, are going to rise again to live another life, hopefully on a higher spiritual plane. So, yeah, there's a lot of them out there that'll say they believe in Jesus. But what Jesus do they truly believe in? That's the spirit tester. Only the true Spirit of God and those who are born again will confess that Jesus Christ is the true, only God who came to earth in the flesh. Now, another thing that's important to point out in that 1 John chapter 4 passage that I just read is a word that's used, confess. It's not just a simple matter of just confessing and saying, yeah, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. The scriptures tell us that even the demons also believe, and they shudder, James 2:19. This word confess, to the early Christians, in the first century especially, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, was a very, very sincere, very important word to them. Because for them, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and that he was God in the flesh was basically taking the death penalty upon yourself. They were tortured. They were killed for confessing Christ as Lord. And I just wonder today, how many that call themselves Christian, if it meant the death penalty, would truly confess Jesus is who he claims to be? That's the true spirit tester. A Christian apologist during the second century wrote these words, "For it is plain that though beheaded and crucified and thrown to wild beasts and chains and fire and all other kinds of torture, we do not give up our confession. But the more such things happen, the more do others in larger numbers become faithful and worshipers of God through the name of Jesus. They took confession seriously. To them, they meant it when they said, I confess Jesus as Lord. So, and then again, Paul tags that. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We talked about prophecy, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Remember I mentioned where it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, or do not despise prophetic utterances. Paul then tags that by examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Prophecy is so important. Discerning of spirits is so important. But we need to test prophecies, test the source that it's coming from. Examine everything carefully, Paul says. And that word examine, it's a Greek word, dokimazo. And it has the idea of putting something to a very strict tense to determine its nature. Now listen, you guys consider me a pastor, you consider me a friend, and I have great intentions of being true to God's word, but I'm not perfect. I can make mistakes. And so it does not offend me if you challenge anything that I speak. Test it by God's word. Does it align up with God's word? Do I preach Jesus Christ as God in the flesh? I had an interesting thought this week. You know, we often make a distinction between biblical doctrine and the philosophies of the world, and oftentimes there's a huge chasm between them that they don't align with each other, that there's a huge contradiction, and there's also times when they appear very similar. Have you ever stopped to think that Satan and his demons also have a doctrine that they want you to believe? 1 Peter 4:1 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the flesh, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, demons are not just a bunch of wild creatures that are just all over the place trying to make your life miserable. Satan and his band of demons have a very well laid out plan. They've got a set of beliefs or doctrines as to how your life should be lived apart from the Lord. And they are going to do everything they can to get you to believe their doctrines. And the danger is, as I've already mentioned, is that they make things look so close to God's truth that we often don't even question it. We just buy it. We must be discerning of spirits, discerning of truth. Satan doesn't come up and identify himself. And that's why discerning of spirits is so important. So important. Not only for each of us individually, but for us as a body, as the church. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will manifest himself by empowering you with this discerning of spirits. But I would encourage each of us, meditate on God's word. Get to know the Lord's voice. Get to know his character. Get to know his nature. Get to know our God intimately. And then test the spirits, these voices that you're hearing. Do they line up with Scripture? Do they line up with God's character? Test it. Listen carefully. Prophecy, God's truth, is so important. But so is discerning of spirits. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word as always, and thank you for just the reminder that we do have an evil force out there that we're doing battle with. Father, we just ask you to just let the Holy Spirit empower us and work through us and give us this discernment of spirits, that we would truly be able to discern what is your voice and what's not your voice. God, give us your spirit. Help us to hear clearly from you. And I just pray for each one here this morning that you would just keep us each safe and in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.